We're going to turn to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. In this time of the year, we're doing occasional sermons, and all of them we trust to lift, to encourage, to guide in a time of great distress and difficulty in our world at large. Jack's choice for today is Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, John. You know, if you've ever been to my place, as a number of you have, then you'll be aware that we have an amazing view over the Tamar River to the mountains on the other side. As you can see in this photo that I took yesterday, even though it was a bit hazy, you can see Mount Arthur, Mount Barrow, Ben Lomond, and many of you will have similar outlooks from your own homes, especially if you live in Riverside, or you may have seen it from other vantage points around the city. But you know, the crazy thing is that even though we have this wonderful view, we so often fail to take the time to actually look at it. And do you know why that is? It's because we get so caught up in the day-to-day things of life. You know what it's like. You get up in the morning, you get dressed, you eat, you go about your usual activities, and before you know it, it's time for bed and another day is over. We so easily get caught up in the grind of daily life, in our routines and our responsibilities. It's just another day at the office, or another day at the work site, or another day in the classroom. It's just more nappies to change, more meals to be cooked, more appointments to attend. And when we get caught up in the day-to-day things of life, we can forget to pause and to take in the view. We can forget to slow down and to consider the big picture of life. But you know, that's what's going on here in Psalm 121. You'll notice from the title that it's one of those songs of ascents, one of those psalms that the Jews would sing on their annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And I'm sure that they too could easily get caught up in the dreariness of their journey and the monotony of their lives. And so in verse 1, the author declares, "I lift up my eyes to the mountains." He says, I'm going to look up from my narrow life and I'm going to take in the vastness of what's around me. He says, I'm going to step back from this daily grind and I'm going to look into the distance. I'm going to look to the horizon. I'm going to look to the mountains. And you know, perhaps we need to be reminded of this as well. Perhaps you've been so totally absorbed with the daily routines of life that you've forgotten what life is really about. Have you been so busy focusing on your own small world that you need to be reminded to lift up your eyes, to take in the view, to consider the big picture of life? But do you know what happens when you do that? What happens is that you discover how small we really are. When I look across the Tamar to those mountains beyond, I see their enormity and I see their grandeur. But yet in the context of the earth, those mountains are tiny, aren't they? They're just little bumps on the surface of the globe. And in the context of the universe, the earth is tiny as well. Just one small planet among some 400 billion in the Milky Way alone. And so where does that leave us? Well, we may feel pretty big, pretty self-sufficient in our own minds, but in reality, we're just specks of dust that are here today and gone tomorrow. We're so small, we're so weak, we're so helpless. And so it's little wonder that as he lifts his eyes to those mountains, that the psalmist is moved to ask himself a very pertinent question. He asks himself, where does my help come from? But we should ponder that question as well. And so, my friends, I want to ask you this morning, as you consider your own life, where do you find your strength and your comfort and your security? My friends, I ask you, where does your help actually come from? Do you find it in your wealth and possessions, in property and investments, in superannuation? Do you trust in your work and your position or your business and the income and the purpose that those provide to you? Do you find your security in the stability of our government or our health system or the emergency services? Do you find your strength in your own family and your own friends? Or does your help simply come from yourself, thinking that you can handle life all on your own? Well, of course, all of these things can help to a degree, but yet they are very limited, aren't they? I mean, what if life in Australia was no longer so secure? What if this COVID pandemic actually got worse and worse and didn't get better, as we're all hoping as we await a vaccine? What if these disagreements that we're having with China ended out in far worse things, maybe even war? What if there's a financial crisis and all of your wealth just fritters away? Well, my friend, what if it was the fact that you had to move away from your family and your friends, and you lost the support that you rely on so much? Or what if you had a new baby and you just didn't know how to cope? Or what if your child was diagnosed with a serious illness? Or what if your spouse had to go into a nursing home? What if you had to learn to live with a disability or with a tragedy in your family? Or with a divorce? Or what if the doctor told you that there's nothing more that they can do? And my friends, what about when you reach the day of your own death? Where will you turn for help when every earthly security is stripped away? My friends, when you step back and look at the big picture of life, and when you realize just how weak and vulnerable we are, then where will you find your help? Well, the psalm reminds us that at the end of the day, there's only one place where we can ultimately turn, and that is to our God. And so in verse 2, the psalmist answers his own question and making this glorious pronouncement. He says, my help, comes from the Lord. Now, the psalm reminds us of two very important things that we need to remember about the Lord. And the first of those is found in the word Lord itself. For you see, the word Lord is mentioned no less than 5 times in this psalm. But I don't know if you noticed, but every time it is found, it is written in all capital letters. And there's a very good reason for that. You see, this is how the English translators show us that this is, in fact, God's personal covenant name. This is the name that he first revealed at the burning bush when Moses said to him, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. And from this point onwards, God's people knew him as the great I am, as the Lord, Yahweh. And this name Yahweh reminded them that he is a personal God, that he is a God who chose them to be his very own, that he is a God who promised to bless them and to love them and to care for them. And you know, the very same applies to us in the church today. When we say, my help comes from the Lord, we are not speaking of a distant deity. No, we are speaking about our Lord Yahweh. We're talking about a personal God who has chosen us, chosen to adopt us as his own children, who promises to shower us with his blessings, and who loves us more than we will ever understand. But this psalm also reminds us of something else. For in the second half of verse 2, it says that the Lord is also the maker of heaven and earth. And have you ever stopped to think what an astonishing truth that is? You see, we may well be small when compared to the mighty mountains. And those mountains themselves may be small when compared to the glory of the whole earth. And the earth may indeed be small when compared to the majesty of the entire universe. But yet our God is greater still, because he is the one who made it all. In Genesis chapter 1, it tells us that in the beginning he created the heavens and the earth. He's the one who put the sun and the moon and the stars and the planets and the galaxies all in their places. He's the one who created this world, designing it perfectly to support life in the most amazing way. He's the one who made the mountains and the valleys, the rivers and the waterfalls, the beaches and the oceans, the rainforests and the bush. And he's the one who made the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, who made the lion and the monkey and the meerkat. And he's the one who made humanity, creating every single one of us, body and soul, just as he planned. And so we ourselves and this world that we live in, we are not here by chance. We are not the result of some impossible but yet totally meaningless accident. But we are here because our God imagined it, and he designed it, and he called it into being. And my friends, this reminds us that our God is almighty. There is nothing he cannot do. And so what this means is that the Lord is at the very same time a God who loves us deeply, but also a God of great power. And so he not only desires to do good and to care for us, but he is also capable of doing whatever is required. For our God is the Lord Yahweh, and he is also the maker of heaven and earth. And so we can trust that he is both willing and able to be our help. But I wonder if that's how you really see the Lord your God. I mean, a lot of people see him as only a God of love, but yet too weak to really make any difference. Others see him as only a God of power, but yet disinterested in our lives. But what about you, my friend? Do you know the Lord our God in his might and his power as the creator and sustainer of all things? But yet at the very same time, do you know him as your own gracious shepherd, as the one who genuinely knows you and who loves you and who blesses you every single day. My friends, I hope that when you lift your eyes to the mountains and when you ponder where your help comes from, that right along with the psalmist, you truly can say, my help comes from the Lord. But perhaps you're thinking to yourself, well, that's well and good in theory. But how does that work out in practice? How does the Lord actually help me in my life today? Well, the rest of the psalm goes on to explain this, and there are 4 points that I want to draw out. First of all, this psalm tells us that the Lord helps you by watching over your life. And this too is mentioned no less than 5 times over in this psalm. In verse 3 it says that he is the Lord who watches over you. Verse 4 says, indeed, he who watches over Israel. Verse 5 says, the Lord watches over you. Verse 7, he will watch over your life. And verse 8, the Lord will watch over your coming and your going. But what's that all about? What's that really mean? Well, I want you to take a moment and I want you to imagine a young mother. And I want you to imagine her looking out of her kitchen window while her children are playing in the backyard. Now, there's lots of dangers out there. They could step on a thistle or get stung by a bee. They could fall off their bike or the swing or the trampoline. They could get hit by a rock or poked by a stick. But it's okay. It's all okay. Because Mum is watching. She's keeping her eye on her precious children to make sure that they don't get hurt. And so if she sees that something bad is going to happen, she steps in to prevent it. And if something bad does happen, well, then she's right there to help. Well, don't you see, that's what the Lord our God is like with us. As we travel this path of life, there are many dangers along the way. We all know that full well. But we can trust that our Heavenly Father truly is watching over us, watching over our lives, watching over our coming and our going. And he does that because he loves us, because we're precious to him. And so he keeps his eye on us to make sure we're okay. But the psalm also says that the Lord helps us by never, ever failing in his duty. I mean, we know that even the most vigilant mother has to sleep sometime. There'll always be moments when she takes her eye off her children, but not with the Lord. For verses 3 and 4 tell us that he who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. My friends, we all know that in life, people let us down all the time. We get let down by governments, by businesses, by churches. We even get let down by our closest friends, our closest family members. But you can be assured that the Lord will never, ever fail you. He will never stop watching over you. He will never fall asleep at the wheel. And what a mighty comfort that is, to know that there is not a moment of the day or of the night when he is not there to help us. For he is 100% reliable and 100% faithful, 100% of the time. But the psalm doesn't only tell us that the Lord helps us by watching over us and by doing so every minute of the day, but it also tells us that on this journey of life, he helps us by actively protecting us from harm. Just listen to these glorious promises. Verse 3, it says, he will not let your foot slip. Verses 5 to 7, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night, for the Lord will keep you from all harm. And so, my friends, whether you are currently facing health troubles or family troubles or money troubles or whatever it may be, whether you're experiencing stress or loneliness or grief, you can rest assured that the Lord is looking after you. You can rest assured that He hears your prayers and that He is busy and active in your circumstances, working for your good. But yet sometimes that can be hard to believe, can't it? Because sometimes we can go through some incredibly difficult times, times of tragedy or heartache or despair. And when that happens, it can seem to us that God has turned away, that He has failed us in our time of greatest need. But you know, it's at precisely times like this that we need to remember that there's something far deeper going on here, something far more significant at stake. For when we think about the Lord's help and His protection, well, we immediately think of the momentary troubles of this life. But of course, there is a far greater problem that cannot be ignored. And that, my friends, is that problem of sin, that problem of our own rebellion against Him, that problem of our being cut off from God's presence both now and for eternity. And so surely God's highest priority is to help us in this greatest of all problems. For as we saw earlier in this service, God sent His own Son, Jesus Christ, as the most amazing expression of His love and of His grace. For Jesus Christ Himself bore our sins in His body on that tree. And so if you are ever doubting the Lord's love and help and protection in your life, then come back to that cross and remember the price that He paid for your salvation. And as you do that, you will learn to keep the troubles of this life in the right perspective. For there will be times when the Lord will allow you to suffer. But He will allow that for a reason. He will allow it for the sake of your eternal well-being. For example, He may send troubles to discipline us when we are going astray. He may send troubles to help us to grow in our trust and our dependence on Jesus. He may send troubles to provide an opportunity for us to witness to the gospel. And so, with this eternal perspective, we can truly trust the words of Romans chapter 8, where the Apostle Paul writes, "We know that in all things God does work for the good of those who love Him." My friends, with this eternal perspective, we can truly trust that He will protect us, ultimately, from all harm. But that leads into our fourth and final point. We've seen that the Lord helps us by watching over our lives and by never failing in His duty and by actively protecting us from harm. But finally, this psalm tells us that the Lord promises to help us both today and for eternity. For the psalm concludes with these words, "The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." You see, my friend, you can be truly assured of the Lord's love, help, and protection right now, today. I don't know all the struggles that you're facing at this time. I don't know all of the challenges in your life, but He does. And He has promised that He will never leave you and will never forsake you. So put your trust firmly in Jesus and know that He is with you every single step of the way. But you can also be truly assured of the Lord's love, help, and protection on your final day. For we're all going to die. We just don't know when. But what we do know is that for all God's people, for all who repent and believe, that death has lost its sting. For Jesus paid our price and He opened heaven's door. And so on that day He is going to come and He is going to carry us to our eternal home. My friends, don't get so bogged down in the busyness of life that you forget to consider the big picture. Lift your eyes to the mountains and ask yourself, where does your help come from? And may each and every one of us be able to say with confidence, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give you thanks and praise for your love, help and protection in our lives. We know that there are times when we feel like we can handle things all on our own, but how quickly our world can fall apart and we realize again that we need you every hour. We need you to sustain us on this journey of life, to watch over us and to keep us from harm. But even more importantly, we need you to save us from sin, that we might experience eternal life in your presence. And so we are so thankful that we can find our help in you, and that we can trust you to watch over us both now and forevermore. And so, Lord, we pray that each and every one of us here might know the deep, deep comfort and the wonderful assurance of this psalm. May we take these words into our own hearts, and may we live with them every single day, knowing that you are indeed a good, good Father. Amen. And as our musicians come forward, let's stand and sing of that glorious truth together.